Hey, g'day there, fellow humans. Mark LeBusk here for another episode up in the 170-somethings of the Simply Practically Human podcast. And today, look, delighted to be joined by Alex Bukowski. And not going to say too much more other than I met Alex 2 years ago and I have just witnessed her pathway to what is now called the Possibility Arena, which is the business she has created in the last 2 years, but has only started kicking it off in the last 2 weeks. She's going to share a bit of the old experience she's been through. So I think a really good one for those who are thinking about what's next for them and whether or not, as Alex says, I can do more. We'll catch you at the end.
Life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark LeBusk talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
Hey, I'm delighted today to be joined by the founder of the Possibility Arena, Alex Bukowski. Alex, thank you for joining me.
My absolute pleasure, Mark LeBusk.
Wow, isn't it very formal? You would have thought we've never met before, the formality that's going on here right now.
I know. Do you remember when I once called you Mr. LeBusk? I think you were thrown back to your school teacher days.
Wow, Mr. LeBusk. I don't think I've been called that since I think the grade two kids in, I think it might have been Mildura West Primary School when I was doing some relieving teaching there. Hey, we're going to talk about a whole lot of things. I love what's going on for you at the moment and I've sort of got to know you over a couple of years, but we always start with first impressions because I think it's just a bit of fun and we find out what we thought of each other. So you, as the guest, get to go first. Be nice to me, Alex Bukowski. What were your first impressions?
We met when COVID kicked off. You were in a Zoom room that one of my very dear friends, Alana, had arranged. And she just collected some lost souls who were struggling, I think, with the working from home piece. And we just had some really good conversations about human stuff, about people stuff, a bit of HR stuff. And you turned up. And I was like, who is this guy? And there was something intriguing about you. And then we had a chat. And I was like, okay, cool. And then you reached out and we had a chat. But my first impressions was wise, real, and a little bit intriguing.
My way. An intriguingly wise and real person. I like that. I like it. No one's actually shit-canned me yet on this, and I wonder if one day someone will, or maybe I pick the guests so that they won't shit-can me. So for me, deliberate, thoughtful, and I thought initially, but I don't have this thought anymore, this is why first impressions can be a bit damning, I thought a bit reserved.
That's not one that usually comes up for me, reserved.
No, but maybe it was because you were deliberate and thoughtful and maybe reserved for me was meaning you're not saying much, but I do know you are I think you are still very deliberate and thoughtful, not as reserved as I thought you were in my first impression. In fact, nowhere near as reserved and you're not a reserved human being. And now 2 years on, lots of things are changing in your life around the way that you are now working because you have now gone out and set up your business. And I am absolutely thrilled, not only for that, but for the way that you've attacked it with the way you're putting yourself out there, which I think is bloody amazing on LinkedIn. And please, people, if you're listening to this, you must connect with Alex because that's when you'll get to see her cool stuff that she's doing in a business. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess, this idea of moving into your own business. Let's not go there first. Let's go to you and the backstory because I know your backstory and it's a bloody good one because you share a lot here. So tell us a bit about young Alex, traveling Alex, and a whole lot of those other things that have sort of got you to where you are today.
Oh, gosh, how long you got?
As long as you want.
Yeah, I look back on, let's go back to childhood just for a little bit and delve in the murkiness of that. If I could describe my childhood as one thing, I think it would be unpredictable. So it was dealing with a father who wasn't particularly happy with his life. So therefore, I felt childhood was always walking on tenterhooks, so always waiting for something to happen. And I think as a very young person, I learned that my role was to make sure the shit didn't hit the fan. So has given me this desire to control situations. And I will readily admit that I'm a recovering control freak and think that I always will be. And as you know, Mark, we've talked quite a bit about that. And it's something that I've really worked on, I've looked at and improved on, but it always comes up and, you know, rears its head at interesting moments in life. So that's definitely something that comes from that childhood. So I grew up in England and then moved to Australia when I was 11. And as a teenager, I just wanted to escape that world that I was in. I wanted to do my own thing. So high school wasn't really that much of an interest to me. It was all about escaping. And people are really surprised when they hear that I was actually a high school dropout. I didn't do very well at all, which is really interesting because I'm not stupid. I love growing. Growing is actually one of my core values. But the education system just overlooked me. So I left school and just headed into the workforce and off I went.
And the workforce took you back overseas, didn't it?
It did. So I started just trying out different things and then I ended up in recruitment. I was actually the receptionist to begin with. But as I was sitting on receptionist and I was so bored out of my mind, I remember being in tears in the bathroom because I was just so miserable with life. But I saw these people who were recruitment consultants and I was like, I want to be one of them. That's the career. So they just said, if you want to be a recruitment consultant, you have to get on the phone and do cold calls and sell. And because I didn't know any different, I just did it. And then they figured out I was quite good at it and they made me do it in Perth. And then they sent me overseas to sort out the London sales piece and I did that too. A few distractions though once I got to London.
Such as?
Partying, having a good time, living the good life.
And when did you come back to Australia?
Oh, so it would have been about 12 years ago, but I couldn't come back to Perth because I felt it was after the heady lights and all the excitement of London and Ibiza and all the other places I bounced around to. it was just, I'm not going back to sleepy old Perth. So I went to Sydney. And I was still working for this same company and I had a bit of a, I guess, a life-changing moment when I went for a promotion at a role the company I was in. And I was clearly told by one of the senior leaders that no one with the education that I had would ever be in a position that I was going for because how could I possibly talk to the types of clients at the level that I would need to? And this was a smack in the face. I was like, what? You don't know me? And within about 2 weeks, I'd signed up to an MBA. I was like, if he thinks that I'm not going to be educated, well, watch me. So off I went. And that was what started just the passion for learning. I went and did an MBA. I started reading and I realized that they got it totally wrong about me during high school. Like I really, growth is what I'm all about. And it's a real important lesson for kids, right, that you don't have to have it figured out when you're 15, 16, 17 years old. You'll figure it out in your own time. And how do we nurture kids through that rather than forcing them to, you know, determine their destiny?
Yep. And I guess with that one, I think about we want them to be like us. I know I did that with at least, I know Sam, my boy would say, or he did tell me on the podcast one day, the thing that 14-year-old me would have told you is not to try and make me into you. And I think there is a great lesson there that we should let kids be kids and we should also try and give them some guidance. But when they want to find it their own way, which I get a sense with you, you've found your own way and you've found your own way to where you are now, which is pretty bloody exciting. So, you know, back into Perth, I know you came back into Perth, into your hometown, and you worked there for how long with Rio Tinto?
10 years.
Yeah.
And on reflection, 10 good years. I had a lot of opportunity with that organization. I had 3 children while I was there. We had a really good life. We had security and the autonomy I got in the organization to work from home. And this was years before COVID came along and the whole world was doing it. We were working virtually 7-8 years ago. Yep. I had a virtual team and we were doing just fine. So I had lots of opportunities, but also I had lots of setbacks. As you know, I'm known to be a positive disruptor, always challenging the status quo and wanting to make things better. And when you work in a big organizational system, that's sometimes hard because the system takes you down. And I got taken down a lot. So there's a lot of emotions, as you can probably hear, attached to that story.
Yep.
So it was a good experience, but yeah, lots of learnings and maybe things that I'm going to take into this new business about how we can make the way we work better.
I love it. So you're out now, you're about a month out now doing your own thing. And as I said before, you've hit the ground running in a big way, the way that you're just building your profile and whatnot. It's good to see. Was there a point for you, because we're getting you this now from, and I hate to call it a consultant, but we are consultants. When I have to fill out my passport thing and it says, what's your occupation? I write consultant down. And as I'm writing it, I'm like, I don't really like that term. I feel like I need to get off the plane and have a shower.
Exactly. But don't put me in a box. Like, I don't want to be in your consultant box or this box and that box. I have major issues with the boxes.
I know you do.
No, but I think the challenge with a consultant is I think we need more good consultants in the world. Yeah. My experience of consultants is people that come and tell you the time on your own watch.
Nice. Right?
That was my experience of consultants. So I believe that in organizations, there's the genius and the capability to make the organization amazing. Yet we then bring in these consultants to do it for us. And it might be because it's about risk, or it might be because we don't trust our own people, but it generally is best practice that's coming in or something that someone else has done. And that never works, right? Because the context of an organization is so unique and interesting and complex. And how can you possibly just take an external best practice, implement it, and make improvements? Not the real world.
No, well, culture certainly doesn't eat strategy for breakfast, does it? What was the time? I'm really, because I know there's lots of people out there right now thinking about this. They're like, you know, the great resignation, which I think, as I've called it before, it's the convenient lie to hide the inconvenient truth, that people have been resigning for a bloody long time, not just because of COVID. Mm-hmm. It's the great realization, which is people have realized that there's another way, and voting with their feet to go and do what you've just done and create your own very, very unique and wonderful business. Can you remember the time when it was like, yep, I'm going to do this? Was it like 6 months ago? Was it 5 years ago, 2 years ago? When would you start to get that sort of itchy feet of, I've got something that I can offer to the greater world than the company that's already given me good opportunities?
I would say it was at least 2 years in the making. And there's many times when I wanted to throw in the towel and just do it. And a wise person told me to hold my nerve at the time, if you remember that
very
conversation.
Wise, very, very wise person. Yeah, I think they're great words, those words. I've heard them myself before from a wise person. So just on that, let's talk about it, because there will be people who will want to throw the towel in, but it is a longer game. What were the stories going through your head, Alex, at the time when you were starting to think about what I refer to as Alex 2.0, and I have for 18 months now? What were the emotions and thoughts going through your mind as it was like, stay, go, I need to do something different?
It was about knowing that I could make impact in the world beyond what I was doing, which was the frustration. I knew I could do more, and I could see the green shoots of that happening. So when I worked with groups of people in organizations, I knew that I could create a really safe space for them to thrive, to grow, and to do really good work. So I saw that this was happening, and I started to realize this is unique, whatever's going on here. And it was really based on some really simple things. One was treating people like human beings and really about relationships. So investing in the relationships with these people and protecting them from the system was a lot of what I did. So giving them the safe space to make mistakes, experiment, try things, and telling them that I had their back and letting them grow and do things and really fighting the good fight. So I was doing these things and realizing that there was something to offer the world in what I was doing. But just from a security perspective, I felt that I needed to stay with company and keep a job. So it just took a long time for me to reconcile with the fact that things would be okay and just build that confidence. And I did that by going out into the world and just talking to a lot of good people who were already doing what I wanted to do. Talking to those people, learning from those people, building that tribe of people externally to really support me as I made that transition.
I think that's a really, really important lesson for anyone considering doing this. And I know there's a reluctance for people to reach out to that particular world because it's like, well, I'm not there or I'm not from there. And why would they want to talk to me? What would your advice be to someone who's a little bit perhaps apprehensive, Alex, is the word, to start to reach out and do that?
For me, it's about intention. So the intention that I approached it was, how can I put myself out there, connect with this person and give something to them?
Yep.
So what I've tried to do with the people in my tribe through that time is try to help them, connect them with other people. If they had a skill or a service that could be used at Rio Tinto, make that introduction. So just trying to go out there with a serving my tribe, serving my network. But you just need to be brave, right? People are just people. And most people want to have a chat and want to help you. So I just find you've just got to do it. Just reach out, send the message, reach out to them. And what's the worst that can happen? Well, they don't respond or they say no. Well, just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really wise advice because if you don't do it, if you don't reach out, you're not going to know. So just talk a bit more about that then. So you're not from there, I said before, but was there a point that you started to feel like, hey, I'm like those people? Well, I'm doing what they're doing, but I'm just doing it in a different and you know, for the words you used before, a more secure environment because I've got the security of that paycheck coming in. Was there a time when you started to go, hey, I should be in this tribe?
It was many different moments and there's no specific moment and it was just built up over time. And I think it was built out of confidence because I saw what I was doing internally at Rio Tinto and I saw what was missing out in the world. And also a lot of the reading that I was doing was showing me that there's a huge problem with people being disconnected in our world. And there's a huge problem with people being disconnected at work. So over 70% of people go to work and they're not engaged. And I'm wondering why as human race, we think that's okay. Like, so surely we can do better than that. And I like to sort of think about organizations more like communities. So how do we create a community that wants to build relationships together and achieve something? Because at the end of the day, people are motivated around a vision. They want to do good work. They want to grow. It's not just about bringing in more beanbags and ping pong tables. It's about people want to work. So how do you create that environment? Yep. And so I knew this and I was getting this sense of there was something in what I was reading, learning, thinking, and I just grew a confidence that that's what I wanted to share with the world.
Lovely. One of the traps, this is now speaking from experience, as you go out into the world with your own shingle, as they call it, hang your shingle and away you go. So we've got the shingle of the possibility arena. What's been going through your mind around your offer? And mine was like, I need to offer lots of things because the more things I offer, the more opportunities will turn up. I'm not going to finish the story on what happens when you do that. I'm interested in, again, you sharing, even at early days, what's going through your mind around how big does the offer need to be in order for you to make this a viable concern for yourself?
No matter how much people tell you, you need to find your niche and you need to find your thing, it's one of the hardest things to do because you feel like you need to be everything to everyone. And I'm quite good at a lot of different things and I enjoy doing a lot of things. So you see the shiny toy and you're like, oh, well, let's go play over there and we'll go play over here. And it becomes you offering the world to everyone, but people are not really sure exactly why they would come to you. I'm figuring this out, Mark. So it's not like I've landed on this, but what I actually came to this week actually was going back to my values, because one of the processes that I've been going through is looking at what I want to do through a divergent thinking point of view. So going out there and thinking, what's all the things that I want to do? And then converging on what does that actually mean? And when I converge back on what that actually means, it goes back to my values. Yep. And they are connection, first and foremost, and growth.
Yep.
So when I looked at those values, I'm like, that's just what I want to do. How do I create work environments where people connect and grow? And so that's what I came to. So it was really interesting that I went through this whole process of divergent thinking, convergent thinking, and about 20,000 post-it notes. And it actually just came back to my values. And that's kind of what I've landed on.
I'm not going to say what have you learned about yourself in the process, because the process never stops. So I'm going to frame it in another way. What are you learning about yourself in this process that you think would be useful for others to hear, particularly if they're at that 2-year point you were 2 years ago where they're like, hey, I'm starting to think more. I can do more. I loved it when you said that. I can do more and I'm unique. What have you been learning about yourself?
I'm learning that my limiting beliefs keep popping up because I'm in a time of growth and learning. And when you're in that time, they come back up and they go, and they're kind of like little people on your shoulder, kind of whispering in your ear, like keep coming up. So I've noticed when I was back in corporate, I'd almost tamed the limiting beliefs. And now I'm trying something new. I'm probably feeling quite vulnerable and it's all very new and they're coming back.
Yep.
So I'm having to kind of get rid of those a little bit, which I didn't expect. I thought I'd be a bit more confident and I got past some of those things. What I'm also learning about myself is it's not getting work that's the problem. It's actually saying no to the work. So I've had no problems filling my calendar up to, you know, 3 months now into the future. The challenge is it the right work? And one of the things you've got to be really careful about is making sure that you're able to say no to what is not in line with what your niche is. Now, I haven't got there yet. I've definitely said yes to things, but I'm aware of it and I'm working through it.
So the uninvited guest is coming a bit more frequently than what it was. That story's coming and visiting you and sitting on your shoulder and doing those things. And I love that second one, the ability to say no. What's the voice that is potentially going to stop you or anyone else when they go out and do their own thing from saying no? What's that voice saying to you?
If I don't say no, then it's just going to take me so much longer to get where I need to be and there'll be unrealized potential left. And I know what I'm like. I'll get a year down the track. And right now I'm in the honeymoon phase, right?
Yep.
This is cool. I've escaped the corporate jungle. Everything's rosy. So even the work that's not exactly in the niche is still good.
Yep.
It's all good. But my future self is not going to be content. So I have to think and I guess get on the balcony and sort of get out of the weeds of the dance floor and just figure out where do I want to be longer term? Because otherwise I think you can just meander along and then end up 12 months down the track and go, not quite where I want to be.
What has surprised you about you in this transition phase?
The first thing that just came to mind then was that people like me. I know that's really silly.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
And because I've just had this overwhelming amount of support from people. People have reached out from the first places I ever worked to people at Rio Tinto from all over the place. And I feel like I have a lot of cheerleaders who are really supporting me. And all the work I've got is all through people who like me and think I do good work and just want to help. So that's been surprising.
I remember you, I think it was last week, you remember you put your post out about I'm out in the world now and you sent me a ticker text message. It was like, oh my God, have you seen the response to the thing? And now that makes sense. It's like, that must have been the moment where you went, oh, maybe people actually like me.
I could tell you, I was actually getting my hair done. So I was at the hairdresser's and my phone was going ping, 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 ping. And I was like, oh, what is going on? And I'm not into the numbers of what the posts were. That's not what that had got to me. What got to me was some of the posts of support. Like I was very emotional while I was getting my hair done because people had just wrote such really nice things and had taken the time to give me just a line of encouragement, which just meant so much.
I love it. So let me ask you this one now, maybe a bit of a more challenging one to answer. What's disappointed you about you in that transition phase, if anything?
I didn't think I'd be so disappointed that they didn't want to keep me. I know that sounds really silly because I really wanted to leave. And not that it was, like I said, it wasn't a bad experience. It wasn't a bad company. I got so much out of it. It was just ready for me to go. But when they just didn't fight to keep me, I just felt disappointed and almost started to doubt myself, which was, if I'm going to do this, why wouldn't they fight more to keep me? Now, look, I think that's just an interesting observation, I guess. I'm over it now. But at the moment, when I handed back that pass, I was a bit disappointed.
Mm. Was there any ego involved there, do you think?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm 27 years from my first redundancy now, and I still think they made the wrong decision when I worked at TNT. And that doesn't go away. It's like, how the hell did they get that so wrong? And I when I think about that, it's a bit like with you. It's like, why didn't they fight a bit harder? But you sort of move on. Well, you should. I haven't quite moved on. But anyway, I can totally get where you're coming from. And I think given this has been something that you've been considering for a couple of years while still doing amazing work. So it's not like I'm trying to set up my business and not doing incredible work, because you were doing brilliant work at your former employer. If there were three really simple and practical tools or tips, maybe more tips at the moment, that you would give to the person who might be 2 years behind where you are now, what would they be?
First is hold your nerve, because you can move too quickly without all the pieces in place. And there are things that you really need to consider. And if I could have my time back, I probably would have done some extra bits, because I didn't realize how much is involved in setting up a business. There's just so much stuff. And I just didn't realize. So I'd have probably got a few more ducks in a row from an admin, like the bank account and the finances and the technical stuff, which does my head in anyway. The second thing that I'd say is, to your earlier point, do good work while you're there, because that's your reputation. And to the day I stopped working for my last employer, I put in 110%. And added value and created amazing relationships with people there. And I think you can't have one foot out and one foot in. You have to be 100% dedicated, because at the end of the day, that's your reputation. And the third thing is work on yourself. So really use the time to reflect on your own personal development and learn and read and reflect. And keep doing that, and then that will hold you in good stead.
Bloody practical, very simple. And just on the last one, you're talking about it's work on yourself and reading in particular. So would you suggest that people have the appetite for reading that you have for reading Alex Bukowski? Because I'm looking, and people can't see this, but I look and I know, because I speak to you like quite a lot on Zoom, and I see the books behind you, but I know that's most likely, not probably, most likely about 2% of the books that you have. And there are many books there, and there are always dog-eared, and there are post-it notes in them and things like that. Just quickly talk about reading. How much of an impact has your discipline to read in order to learn and grow helped you to get to where you are?
It's huge, huge for me. You have within a book an opportunity to see into someone's experience, someone's thoughts, someone's theory, and not all theories are right, but they're interesting to learn from. And I think that reading is just so important. And as you know, I'm not a iPad reader or a Kindle reader, I'm a book reader.
Yep.
I think there's something quite tactile about that. Mm. And I love looking at my bookshelf, because when I need inspiration, sometimes I'm just looking around the books going, yeah, where am I going to get that inspiration from? And I'll pull something off I've read and I'll flick back to the post-it note and I'll come back to it. So it's hugely important. And the synthesis of all of that is what's in my head. And sometimes I don't know where things have come from, but it's all in there and it usually comes out at the right time.
I love it. And, you know, that's really about doing the work, working on yourself. And the work on yourself, as you know, it doesn't stop when you start to do your own thing. It'll just be a continuing thing. And I know you love the growth. It's one of your values. So you love growth. And I reckon you're one of the best I've seen at it. All right. So simple, complex, complicated, whatever. Your thoughts on whether or not human beings overcomplicate stuff. And if they do, why do they do it? And if they don't, why do they not do it? Because I think we could do things a lot more simply than what we do.
Firstly, we are in a beautiful, complex world, so we shouldn't be hesitant in recognizing the complexity of the world because it's a beautiful thing. And I love the complex space. I love not knowing the answer to something. I love having to connect with a group of people to have conversations, to work our way through the uncertainty and for solutions to emerge. You can't always sit in that space of complexity, however. So things have to move from that complex space to the simple. So I think that's the endeavor, right? Moving from the complexity into the simple. And I think that if you can take the complex and you can design it in a way that it becomes simple, you know, that's the beauty.
And I think that's something that my sense with you from conversation, something you've done really well where you were, and it's something that you're going to bring to where you are. And it's something that I have witnessed, because I've been very fortunate that you've come into the room and co-facilitated the human manager experience with me. So, and the other thing that's come out of that is how you've helped me to change, particularly day two, which was very, very full of Lebusque talk festing and a bit less full of things that would have been more of a learning experience for others. So you're very good at giving feedback. How have you found that experience to come in and co-facilitate with someone who's been out there for a bit longer?
I said to someone yesterday that when I co-facilitate with you, I feel like we're sitting in my lounge room and all the participants are sitting around on comfy chairs. And we're taking them through a couple of simple activities to help them put the mirror up and think about themselves and reflect. So to me, the lounge room thing is, it's just a safe space. I have never sort of ever experienced co-facilitating with someone with being so relaxed. Like you and I, I felt there was so much banter. It was just fun.
Yep.
And what I just was so thankful and grateful for was the trust that you put in me, because this is your baby, right? And the fact that you even gave me a piece of your baby and said, you do it, and the trust that you put in me to do that, that was amazing.
I remember when I actually said it to you at one stage, why don't you come in the room with me? You gave me that, every now and again, you've got this look where your head goes back and you sort of look a bit shocked. So I thought there was a little bit of, oh, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'll come in the room. And then I said to you, because this was in Perth, and then I said, why don't you come across to Melbourne? And you did that as well. But even better, why don't we talk about it now? Because you're creating one in Perth in October, aren't you?
That's very true. And that's part of the putting yourself out there in the journey, right, that it feels scary. And I had that on my list to talk to you about the Perth thing when we were in Melbourne. And I asked him, is that really, like, what if he says no, or, you know, all the doubts that come into that. And I said, we should do one in Perth. And just went, ah. And you were like, yeah, let's do it. So we're doing one in October. And
we are exciting. Indeed. So if there's any people in Perth that are listening to this and you like Alex, because Alex was surprised that so many people like her, if you do like her, come along and join us. I think the 13th and 14th of October, venue to be confirmed. But there's only 12 spots, people, and there's quite a few taken already. So this is a bit of a sell job now. This podcast has turned into a it's like an infomercial. You're not going to get a set of steak knives from us, but what you're going to get is a sit around in the Lebusque and Bukowski lounge room having a conversation with 11 other human beings, which I think will fundamentally change what you think about the importance of understanding and connection with other human beings after 2 days. The best way to do that is to reach out to either Alex or myself on LinkedIn and secure a place? Because we've already been, it's up there, the link's there, you'll be able to find it. I better stop this now. I'm starting to feel a bit grubby right about now.
Come on, yes. Stop it, Mark.
Sorry, enough. Alex. Sorry about that. Righto. So now where do we find, I know there's, you know, the overwhelming support you've had, which is brilliant. One of the things to be really conscious of is that you've got to be careful that there's not too many cheerleaders cheering from the sides, but then that's all they do. They cheer from the sides. So how do you turn cheerleaders, do you think, Alex, into paying customers?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that if people trust you and if people know that you do good work, then they should pull. So I've got a belief if you put the right things out there, people will pull.
Yep.
And I don't believe that we should push anything onto anyone. So it's up to me to communicate what I want to offer the world, which is creating work environments where people connect and grow. I know that's what the world needs. I know that's what all of the indicators around the world is showing. People have had enough. People want to go to work and thrive and connect with other humans. So I know this is the right thing. If people are ready for that, I'm going to be out there and people can find me when they want to do that.
Why don't we get to that right now? So where can people find you?
LinkedIn is the place to go. So I am very active on LinkedIn at the moment. I love conversations about all things work, leadership, how you improve your teams, how you improve those relationships at work. How do we actually embrace emotions in the workplace? All of those topics are things that I just read about, talk about, I'm interested in. So just feel free to reach out and have a chat. And I'm always willing to have a conversation.
Brilliant. Hey, thanks for coming on. I know because over the 2 years, just watching what you've done, it's incredible. And it is a blueprint for someone to get out there and do it. So, you know, even that could be something that people can talk to you about is like, how did you get from I can do more to now I'm a business? So, Alex, thanks for coming on board.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you for having me.
I am very, very proud of Alex because of the fact that she is just so, like, she is so thoughtful. She is so prepared to be raw and real about her own experiences. And I think, as she said today, in the service of others, so that others who may be going through similar things know that it's not just them. Her unpredictability, escaping or escapism, as she said, as a high school dropout, her uniqueness, her confidence at times being quite high, but other times taking a hit. These voices that now that she's changed from the corporate world into her own world, the voices that she had quietened in a different environment have started to become loud again. I think that was a really powerful share. Holding her nerve. Continuing to do good work while you're still in an organization, even though you're thinking about and starting to plan something else, is reputation is everything. And I know she is one of the best that I've seen at this in the certainly the time I've been out in the space that we're both in now is working on yourself. She is absolutely like a dog with a bone in every day. And I'm going to say again, being very deliberate about her growth. And as she said, it is one of her big values. And that's, I understand why that is, because she, like no other, continues to challenge herself to learn and to grow and to listen to different perspectives in order for her to be the very best she can be when she turns up working with her clients. Just so good to have watched this little experiment that Alex has been running for 2 years, getting over some pretty big hurdles around control along the way and turning out to what she is there today. So I am absolutely proud to call her my friend and let her know that she is liked. So there you go. Hey, if you love this one, why not rate it 5 stars? Give us a little review as to why you loved it and if you liked it, or if you know somebody else who is considering contemplating what Alex has done, share it with them. But until next time, let's keep it simple, keep it practical, and keep it human. Bye for now.